Station Space, Slashdot Radio.
Good afternoon, good evening, good night. Welcome, you're listening to Geeks in Space, a special, I don't know, a post-apocalyptic episode? Is that a good way to call it?
Episode Infinity Plus One.
That's right. For those of you who pay attention, both of you, as you know, Jeff Bates has left us and gone on to the great city of Boston, where he gets to talk with an exciting new accent and eat a lot of seafood. But unfortunately, that's left Geeks in Space in a little bit of a hiatus. So stop emailing us to complain. We know. We're sorry. If we ever figure out a cool way to bridge him back in, things will happen. In the meantime, we just keep flying random people out in from space and out to the satellite and bringing him in. I, of course, am Rob Commander Taco Malda. And with me, as always, is Jonathan. Introduce yourself.
Jonathan Cowboy Neil Potter.
And our special guest this week, and by special I mean he gets to ride the bus that's only half as long as everybody else's.
That's not fair.
Introduce yourself.
I'm Jeff Mandrake Harrison. And do you know that I have 176 mail since I walked from the other side? And they all seem to be bounces. So whoever is bouncing mail to me,
stop
it.
That ain't going to help, dude, because nobody's going to hear this for like 3 days.
Okay, well then. Yeah.
Thank you for stopping.
Thanks for stopping sending me mail.
That's right.
I really appreciate it.
Among the many important credits in Jeff's history is being the creator of the Mandrake Linux distribution.
No. No. This is actually a popular misconception. That was actually invented by some rather strange people who decided that my name was really cool.
So they like your name.
Next, they're going to have the Mandrake Taco distribution.
The Commander Taco?
Linux Tacos.
Linux Taco. I keep expecting to see... Well, everybody... Yeah, actually, this has kind of gone away in the last year or so, but for the first year of Slashdot's life, everybody wanted a Slashdot Linux distribution. And I just kept saying, dude, do I look like the kind of person who can maintain a Linux distribution? I could barely keep my own systems from going crazy and segfaulting. It's just not a good situation. So let's see... Jeff's in from California. He's where he works at VA Linux Systems.
Yes.
And what do you do, Jeff?
Well, I'm not really sure what I do. You'll have to ask my boss.
Are you allowed? Are you allowed to say what you do? Is it classified?
Well, actually, I do pretty much just research and development and desktop stuff. So if you see pretty things on the desktop when you buy a box from us, then that's pretty much what I do.
Among other things, enlightenment. For if you guys don't know this stuff, then why the hell are you listening? All right, let's see.
It's because they want to learn.
That's right. That's right. It's supposed to be educational. Let's see. We got some bits and pieces of some stories today. Nothing super exciting. It is. We're recording this on a weekend, which means, you know, as always, nothing is happening.
Chris got up cray.
Well, yeah. By there is that to consider.
Come on, that's big news.
The things you can get on eBay. The things you can get on eBay. You can buy anime cells.
Diablo 2 items.
Diablo 2 items.
He got a whole cray for $280.
That's a lot of computer for $280.
I think he got a whole cray anyhow. He'll probably smack me in these. Oh, no, that's just the case.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to need to buy the processor. It's just the processor, and he doesn't have any hard drive or operating system or anything. What are you going to boot it? Let's see.
More computing power.
We've got, well, AMD ending overclocking on the Durons, which is kind of odd. Apparently, the latest Durons are missing some pins. So for those of you who are interested in overclocking them, think again.
Do you even know anyone who owns a Duron?
No, I actually don't know a single person who
owns
a single Duron.
I know several Athlon owners, but I don't know a single Duron owner. I think, you know, both of the people who bought them are now pissed.
They're like, God damn it, I wanted to overclock this, and now I got nothing. I'm going to call AMD and cry. It's going to be a big mess for them.
Yeah, first Intel says you can't overclock your chips. Now AMD says it. Next thing you know, Cyrix, it's all downhill from here.
Then Transmeta. I mean, because any day now, somebody might buy one of their chips.
I don't know. I thought I heard somebody like Toshiba was going to be shipped. No, Toshiba are the people that pulled out of...
They backed out, even though they're like a major backer.
We're not going to ship these, even though we gave them a lot of money.
We invested millions of dollars, but that's just for other people. As always, we like to use Geeks in Space and our authority and powerful audience to push our views upon you, the listener, verbatim. And, of course, the most popular thing that we do is push our favorite Linux distribution, which, for those of you regular listeners, I read a comment a few months ago that some guy was going crazy about saying how Slashdot was going to just be all about pushing their own Linux distribution, and we were going to just ruin everything. But, as always, I plug Debian because it's what I run. Now that the KDE has been, the Qt has been released like on a dual license, half of which is the GPL, and I'm not even going to get into the licensing issue, but basically even RMS pretty much said it's okay. So what that basically means is KDE 2 will now be included in Debian, and there will be Debs, and there will not be you'll be able to APT it, and you will not have to deal with all the, you know, adding somebody else's server line to your non-free.
The license zealots can shut the hell up,
and we can get on with doing
good
some
vibes
real stuff.
All around.
Actually,
love.
Actually, I thought I saw someone showing the other day where it's already in the system. I don't know.
Well, it's,
I'm probably wrong.
You can add, there's like sources list lines that you could have.
I had the sources.list line in, and I noticed the past couple days it's been getting a 404, so I think all that stuff has been moved in now.
Yep, the 404s have also shown up on mine. But yeah, that means that future versions of Debian, you'll be able to APT all of KDE along with all of GNOME. And if you have a sources.list line, you can actually add all of Helix GNOME too, which is actually pretty funky. And actually, there's a line for Evolution now.
Yeah, and Nautilus.
That's right. And actually, I kind of like Nautilus. I wasn't super impressed. Now, Jeff obviously is biased towards EFM.
No comment.
No comment. He has no biases. Dude, it's okay. Okay, Jeff likes EFM.
Yeah, thank you.
I like EFM, too. I'm running it right now on this very laptop. But wait, as soon as Jeff leaves, kill Alt-9 EFM. No,
yeah,
I'm kidding.
That's okay. Because no, EFM, I do know where you live, so.
That's right. Okay. You can hunt me down. My only problem with EFM is the keybinding stuff. Like, I can't, like, use arrows and move through an array of icons. It's really my own issue. I love the GUI integration with the command line stuff. I just think that that's just the pimpest stuff. And that's really what you've got down on that, and no other file manager ever has done anything like that, and that's the innovative part.
Very nifty. Yeah, actually a lot of the interface stuff is going to be redone completely because we actually decided to write some design documentation.
Ah.
It's a new concept. We're hoping to pioneer it throughout the software industry.
It's all the rage with the kids these days.
Yeah, so I sat down last week and drew a bunch of diagrams, and I've been drawing diagrams this week, and I've actually got text documentation. We'll have documentation before code.
God.
Yeah, it's a new concept for us. So.
This maturity in open source, it seems so wrong and dirty.
I think it's because of the corporate sponsorship of open source projects.
That's true.
Because
they like to have a road plan before they just let you run off into a closet and do whatever the hell you want for 6 months.
So I like living in the closet, but I'm having a coming out of the closet party on Friday. So.
Oh dear. Well, in other GPL news, apparently the latest version of Python is actually incompatible with the GPL. Which is always funny, and you know, for those of you guys who know, I'm not like a super license bigot. I just want the freaking source code so I can poke at it, and I'm not gonna like lose any sleep, you know, if it's BSD license or if it's the GPL or whatnot. Different licenses for different situations, whatever, I don't care. But for some people, it's a big issue. Of course, it's ironic that, you know, I'm a Debian junkie because Debian is pretty much the, you know, it will be under the GPL, it will be GNU, RMS will bless it. You know, in order for it to make it into the distribution, I don't really fall into that extreme. I just think Debian is, you know, the best because I love APT and I think that everything works and it's spiffy. But the license bigots are gonna raise a stink about this one for a little while, and that always seems to be oodles of fun because you always get the group of people who are all like, this has to be free or else God hates it, and it's gonna be a long, painful process, but. I get the upside about that is it's good because, you know, it keeps everybody on their toes and makes sure nobody screws up. And there's been a lot of companies who have tried to screw with the GPL, and that's not all of them have made it to Slashdot. Most of them have been solved long before you saw the story on Slashdot where the company is called basically every evil word that can be thought of within limited time frame. Sega giving stock options to stop ISO pirates. That was actually a hoax, but it was so freaking funny. Did you read this one?
No, I missed out on it.
That was basically.
I would have put some ISOs up on my site.
Well, basically, it was a bunch of guys who were doing Dreamcast ISOs, And they were putting, and they had this thing on their page, and I just thought it was really funny, and I assumed it was a rumor, but what the heck, it's funny. I loved thinking about companies saying, you know, here's some stock, don't give out ISOs of our software because that's bad. But and the thing is, that's a whole different issue than you start dealing with it, you know, because like MP3 is quite a different issue than ISOs of a Dreamcast game. Because you see, I buy MP3s or I buy CDs, and I like to turn them into MP3s so that I can listen to them.
Of course, hoping the RIAA is not listening to.
Oh, dude, the RIAA is. Well, this very episode is distributed. See, I look at it this way, you know, Napster. Okay, Napster is cool because you know what? On a regular basis, less regular now than it used to be, we produce MP3s, and Napster can be used to legally distribute our MP3s because we don't care. And that makes Napster have a legal purpose, which makes Napster legal, which is always interesting. But anyway, yeah, that ISO thing was a hoax, but it was just cracking me up because he's like, yeah, Sega gave us stock to stop. We're going to go crack PlayStation games the next tomorrow instead of Dreamcast. It's like, yeah, get Sony stock. They're actually like making money instead of like Sega.
I think I need to start a Napster and have only Dreamcast ISOs.
The problem with Napster is that they actually got, yeah, you'd have to use Nutella because Napster like is pretty restrictive and there's ways to get around it, but you pretty much have to
just
distribute
rename it MP3.
They're actually smarter than that.
Dreamcast.mp3.
It's pretty annoying actually. But what else they got? Well, actually who was mp3.com and their Beambox stuff. They actually they were ordered to pay up.
See,
oh, yeah, they had to pay out a lot. Yep. MP3.com is, they're going to have some issues.
Was it $118 million or $180? It was a lot.
Money than they should have had to pay out for that.
Right.
Now when they started doing that, though, I did think they were kind of getting into a fuzzy legal area, because if you're sending them, they have the CD, but you didn't have the CD to send them that, and you don't have a reseller license or any of that stuff. I think they probably knew what they were getting into.
Well,
when they were doing
there's
that.
Two arguments. There's two sides of it. Number one, the only way that you could start getting it was to unlock it on their end. Which basically there were two ways to unlock it: to put a CD in your own drive and say run their little software that says, "All right, unlock this CD. See, I've got it. It's in my drive. See, look." The other way was to buy a CD through cheap CDs or whatnot, and then cheap CDs would send the thing to your Beambox. The problem is it was altogether far too easy for, say, 10 people or 20 people to share one great big Beambox account and unlock thousands of CDs.
I did think the cheap CDs thing was kind of cool, though. I thought it was really great that you can buy a CD
and listen to
it
now.
Get the MP3s now, and then a few days later you get it back in the mail.
Well, and
so
that's the
really
thing.
Cool.
That's the thing is that the record industry is, they've got to come to grips with, is that people want their music in digital format. They want what cheap CDs was offering. And if it's going to be illegal, it's going to be illegal. I can see that. It's on fuzzy turf. I really, really, really think that feature is something that people are going to want. And the reality is that if people want it, there's going to be a black market for it. And it's either, you know, embrace it or let there be a black market and just accept it.
There's some record labels I think have actually worked with MP3.com, yep, though, because
they've signed with two or three of the major labels.
My last order from cheap CDs, I didn't have all the CDs unlocked on my.mp3.com, but there were a couple that were really small labels that are, you know, they're pro that sort of thing.
Yeah, because they're not selling a lot of albums.
Yep.
I would actually prefer to pay for things and get them in digital format, because what's the first thing I do when I get a CD?
I rip it.
So I used to have a 7-CD changer set up where I just take 7 of my CDs, put them in, the next morning I have MP3s.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it'd be much more convenient to skip that step. Of course, you know, I have to get a better MP3 playing system in the car. But, because now I have to, you have to take my laptop, plug it in the cassette adapter.
Right.
Because I can't actually get one of the...
Kurt the Pope actually uses, he's got a little Wince based Wince CE Jornada, and he actually did the same deal with that.
Wince. That's a really good name for that.
Oh yeah.
Just wait until it's powering your car. That's the blue screen of death.
That's right. The death part actually meant death because you rear-ended the guy in front of you, you know. Now, Kurt
and,
the Pope,
since it locked up, the airbags don't come out.
Kurt the Pope, email him, ask him about what should we do to Kurt this week? He's at a wedding.
Let's advertise.
He's marrying Kevin. Kurt's marrying Kevin tonight. You should email kurt@thepope.org and congratulate him on his wedding, and may he and Kevin work together or live together in long, long, long life and happiness. It'll be beautiful for them. All the marital wedded bliss that they will be celebrating from now and into the future. What do you think of Holland, Jeff? You've been living out and Jeff's been out here now for a few days, and he's out here for another week. He's spending a week out crashing at my place, being a bum, enjoying both of the fabulous restaurants in Holland.
Actually, Till Midnight was really good.
Till Midnight is awesome.
In case you're ever in Holland, Michigan.
In
West Michigan, around that area, you should really stop and eat at Till Midnight. They have really good food, and they had a couple of decent wines, too. The first one we had I didn't like very much, but they have a decent, halfway decent wine selection. They have really excellent food. Yep. And
It's our favorite restaurant. We go there. See, basically, here's how it works. We trick people from out of town to come visit us because it gives us an excuse to go to Till Midnight. And then we go to Till Midnight whenever possible. It's like, oh, you're coming. We don't really have a lot of reporters out here anymore because we're uncool and bland. But when we were, like, really popular and stuff, then we would have reporters come out here, like, you know, every 2 weeks or so to interview us for whatever lame magazine they were working for. And every time it's like, well, time to go to Till Midnight. We're gonna eat on your company's or your magazine's nickel.
Yeah, that was the good old days. Now it's like, it's your birthday next week. We should celebrate now.
It's time to eat. We need excuses, really.
Well,
any excuse.
The good thing, though, is
midnight.
That they changed the menu while we were here. So.
Right. So we have an excuse to go again tomorrow.
If we go tomorrow, then that's perfect.
And then it's all good. It's all good about eating food. And I can't imagine too many of you guys being out in West Michigan, but...
You know, hey.
If you happen to be out here, you know, that's a good place to eat.
So it's actually ironic because I think while we were here, I saw houses.
Did you look at property values?
So for those of you who don't live in the South Bay and the San Francisco Bay Area, it's incredibly expensive to live there. Now, when I say it's incredibly expensive, I don't know. On Slashdot, I guess a couple of months ago, you guys had had something where it was describing the cost of living in the Bay Area, where if you make below $50,000 a year, that's actually
the poverty
line. It costs, I'm not really...
If you make 50 grand in Holland, Michigan, you are a god.
So it costs me about, I guess it costs $2,405 a month for my apartment. And that's just a tad expensive. Especially
That's more than my mortgage on my house.
Especially since it's only like 1,400 square feet. It's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. It's really nice. I like it a lot. It's in a pretty good area, but not a $2,400 a month area. It's just kind of obscene. So we were looking at the cost of houses here, and I saw this. Holy crap. So I have to interrupt one moment. I've gotten another 330-something, and now another 235 bounce messages gone to my mailbox here.
You're having a good day.
This is not a good mail day. But, we're looking at houses around here, and I noticed the cost of houses was negligible, I think, is the word. Is
negligible isn't the word you want to use because, you know, you have money.
Yeah,
that's not the, you know, you're making more than 50 grand a year.
Yes, but, you know.
So, and that does kind of change things a little bit.
But
regardless, what you're talking about is for, you know, a shack in the Silicon Valley, you literally can buy a mansion in West Michigan. I mean, this is not
actually
a joke.
Yeah, so my friend Chris DeMona lives in a house that I guess is going to be, is probably worth around $1 million. He didn't pay. He's renting it. He pays like $3,600 a month in rent. If you didn't want me to tell anyone, I'm sorry, Chris.
I do not endorse the statements of Jeff Mandrake Harrison.
Okay.
He makes these statements for his own amusement.
My own demented purposes. Now, so he pays like $3,600 a month, and so that's
Which
for the Bay, that's really good. And so his house is worth maybe $1 million, $1.2 million, I guess. I'm just gonna guess. And then the house that we were looking at yesterday, was that yesterday? It's like $700,000, and it's 6,100 square feet. 6,100. It's a 7-bedroom, 5-bath house. Of course, most of what they call bedrooms, I call bathrooms. But,
right. Because you like to pee in the corner. You're not very good at aiming at the porcelain bowl.
I've never been very good at that. My mom's always tried to get me to get better at that, but... So we looked at this house, which is like 6,100 square feet, and it's gorgeous. It has $50,000 worth of landscaping outside. It's huge. It has its own self-contained apartment. And,
for the nanny.
Above the garage.
The nanny hutch.
They call it the nanny hutch. Or that's where you keep the concubines.
The whore house?
Yeah, that's the whore apartment.
No, the Indian sweatshop.
Yeah, you can, like, have them make sweaters and stuff.
I could keep small children out there.
Or programmers. You can hire a bunch of, you know, like, 8th grade programmers and have them, like, write all your programs for you. And then
Code Buster!
Declare your variable! You need to modularize more!
Yeah, so we're looking at the house, and I guess something bit me, I guess, about a year ago, where I guess I started domesticating. I guess we were talking about this yesterday.
Holy instinct.
As soon as you're not poor anymore, the whole domestication thing starts sinking in, and suddenly, you know.
In some horrible cases, people end up married.
Yeah, I know. I got since then, I've gotten engaged, and I'm looking at buying a house. Because that house that we're looking at, I'm actually halfway debating buying that house right now. You know, providing that VA would ever. Let me move.
Let you move. Well, they already have an office in Michigan.
Although
so.
They do have an office here, so it's not so bad. But yeah, so it's really amazing the difference in the cost of living here. So when $50,000 is king versus poverty level, it's a big difference.
Yep. And the thing is, you know, there's trade-offs. It's awfully hard to get bandwidth.
Yeah, but you know? See, if you're not paying $2,400 a month in rent, you can pay that for a nice big
bandwidth.
Internet
I would like
pipe.
A T3, please. Can I have an OC3 with that?
Would you like friends with that, sir?
Would you like an OC3 with your with your home?
I'd like a T1 and a Frosty to go.
Right. So yeah, Holland, you just don't want to be running around wearing T-shirts that you know say "I hate Jesus Christ" and "I hope that he licks your mom" or something.
So I did think it was in the spirit of family values. I wore an "I love your mom" T-shirt.
Family values are very big around here.
Through downtown Holland, I thought that was. I got a lot of nice looks for that shirt. So
Holland is a quality place.
It's a quality place. A nice place to raise the dead.
Well, that's usually what Potter's doing.
Huh? That's only Diablo 2.
Yeah, Diablo 2. Mr. Necro.
Downtown, I just try and avoid those ugly pigs that are all over.
Yeah, that's something that's kind of weird. There are lots of small pigs everywhere.
It's a thing, dude. Cities all over the country are doing. That's what they're telling me.
Yeah, so I've never seen these anywhere but Holland.
I bet
so.
It's a new mascot ploy.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, what cracks me up is a bunch of them got vandalized. Like, a bunch of them got their heads smashed off or something, and they were like...
Don't know who did that.
We wouldn't Cowboy Neil know any but Cowboy Neil, who Jonathan Potter might have done Jonathan Potter things like that. Jonathan Potter. We have no idea Kurt the Pope who would be committing such cardinal sins. Oh, see, Kurt the Pope. Cardinal sin. Get it?
Ah, cardinal sin.
But you see, they're made out of cement, so no one knows plasticine how you'd be able to blow those heads off.
It takes certain skills that only Cowboy Neil can know nothing about. Because he is innocent.
In some places they call that vandalism. We call it art.
That's right. It's destructive art, but art nonetheless.
That's right. We're channeling destructive forces for work for the common good of all of Holland.
So let's see. GPG versus PGP. Anybody have an opinion?
Well, they both have very similar letters.
Wow. He's 66% correct.
No, that's not true.
I guess you're 100% correct.
They have
66%
the same letters. Yeah. It's kind of like a bit shift.
That's right.
Or if you use GNOME PGP, which is GPGP.
GPGP.
Okay, no one here has used that program. Okay, never mind.
It's Twiggy. It's Twiggy from Buck Rogers. GPGP.
I don't highly recommend that one. So let's see, what other exciting news do we have? Diablo 2 items, the value for them has crashed for those people making all their money on eBay. You know, I was talking to a guy.
I need to buy some good stuff. If anybody has plus 2 Paladin items for sale on Diablo 2 on US East, well, you can give them to me. That'd be really great.
Say thank you, Mandrake, for writing Enlightenment. I use your window manager every day.
Here, have some
plus
stuff.
2 Pally amulet.
Yeah, just message Karizon. There you go.
Karizon?
No, Karizon.
Isn't that what I said?
No.
All right, fair enough. We'll play it back, and you guys can tell us if we're right or wrong.
In a semi-related story, I'm having an Infernal Torch sale.
All of Potter's Infernal Torches must
go. I have 3 Infernal Torches, and they all must go.
And Hemos has 4 Saigon
Stones. No, dude, he got rid of those.
Oh,
he totally did. And I'm pissed because I needed one. He got rid of them without any... He also sold a plus two source amulet that had a bunch of other crap on it. And he sold it without even checking. He's like, hope you didn't need that. You dork. Well, now I have nothing. I'm practically naked out here. But no, I was talking to a guy who was... he's in college. He's like 20, 21, and I bought some mage plate from him, and I bought him basically for my referral fee bonus in my PayPal account. I got, if you create a PayPal account, you get like $5. And I basically paid that much money in order to buy this mage plate. And it's okay if it's a referral fee. You know, it's not like you're spending real money. It's real money that you never had.
Speaking of which, Rob, how much money have you made off PayPal this week?
Like $75.
$75 in referral fees.
That I did not earn. That I'm going to have to donate to the EFF or I'm going to feel guilty for the rest of my life.
So if anyone from the EFF is listening.
You heard me.
Yeah.
That's $75, man. It's coming in an anonymous check because I don't trust you guys. You're going to put my name on a mailing list and start getting called.
They have cool bumper stickers, though.
They do.
Coding is not a crime.
That's right. Now, this guy, though, he was telling me that he was making, you know, $20-$30 a day basically by just selling items on eBay. And, you know, he's a college guy. You know, he doesn't have a job. That's just what he's been doing for a few weeks.
That's probably more than he'd make working part-time at McDonald's, actually.
Totally. And all you have to do is sell a couple of items, and if you're wandering around, you know, in Act 3 or Act 4 in hell,
and then you sell
you're
them
finding
to
a lot of stuff.
And you sell them to people in normal mode.
Right, you sell them to people in normal mode, and you're going to do all right. You're going to find some pretty good stuff, and
providing
if you can make $10 an item.
Providing they can actually pick them up, though.
Providing you're willing to sit around with the 38 mule characters necessary in order to keep track of all that.
Yeah,
crap.
I do think that's kind of rough, especially if you're playing by yourself and trying to do mules.
I want a freaking huge stash.
Because sometimes US East has a tendency to go
crash down,
and it tends to go down while I'm logging out of one character and logging back into my other, and my game
disappears. I lost my Frostburns.
Ouch.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of people... Jesus, another 361 messages.
Bounce, 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 bounce.
I've gotten a total of 1,000 while I've been sitting here doing this show.
Oh, well, here's an interesting one, actually, that I was kind of interested in. Amazon charging different prices for the same item. And there's not really a lot of information about this, but apparently it can happen. I don't know if it's going to happen or if it's happening now. It's just, you can think about some interesting things. Because let me give you an example. I buy a lot of DVDs from Express.com.
No.
Anime. I buy, you know, probably... I probably buy a movie every week.
I had no idea you liked anime.
Me? New Dragon Ball Z this week, dude. Trunks.
Oh, Trunks.
Trunks rules. He's all coming in and taking it. He sliced Frieza in half in one cut. Okay, it took Goku like 12 episodes just to like piss him off.
He cut down King Cold without even breaking a sweat.
Although you do have to, you did have to see Goku and Trunks go head to head, and Goku was just like
blocking his sword.
Watch as I block your sword with my finger.
It was awesome.
Although Trunks did just grab the sword as King...
King Cole is just like, I bet all of your power is in your sword. And he's like, is that what you think? Here. And he just, like, slices him. He just catches the thing. I love Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah. But, and apparently there's now two big android people coming to kick everybody's ass in the next...
As always.
In the next few episodes. And Goku is not going to die.
That's right, because he's got the secret medication. We probably shouldn't tell all this stuff to you, because this could ruin the plot for some people.
There's a lot of plot in that episode.
No, that's more plot than you'll ever see in an individual episode of Dragon Ball Z. Most of the entire episode usually is like, let's fight! Yeah, let's fight! I'm going to kill you! No, I'm going to kill you! And that's like, you know, they do that for like 20 minutes.
And I'm going to transform into my fifth form.
That's right. He's increasing levels! Grr! You know, it's ridiculous.
He's gone to plaid.
That's right. So the prices thing that we were talking about. Okay, here I can envision a couple of scenarios. I buy a lot of DVDs from Express.com. So, I when I started buying anime DVDs, I priced out a bunch of different places and found out that Express.com... I shopped from probably 3 or 4 different places, and I found that I liked Express.com. So, you know, your miles may vary. Now, what Express.com could do, if they were slimy, and I'm not saying that they are, is they could go in and they could see, look, oh, this guy's buying every week, he's buying something, and they could, you know, add a nickel, add a quarter, add a dollar. And how long would it be before I noticed? Because I did my comparison shopping, you know, 6 months ago, you know, and I realized that their prices were what I considered reasonable and all that. So they could do that, and it might take 2 or 3 months before I even noticed. The other possibility is, you know, that if it was a store that sold other things, they could see, oh, this guy's buying DVDs. Let's make sells cheaper as a thing to, you know, make them, offer special incentives to you to buy other things from you. But that kind of gets weird. I mean, I don't know if that weirds anybody else out, because it means they're tracking a lot of stuff. And it also means that I can get a bigger bargain than maybe somebody else can, or somebody else can get something cheaper than me, or they could screw somebody over. There's a lot of weird potential there.
I don't know. I guess if they were selling things to me cheaper, I think I'd be a lot less pissed about that than
if they were selling things to you for more?
Yeah.
If they were screwing me over, I wouldn't like it.
If they're screwing other people over, that's fine. If they're not, if they're screwing me over,
sure,
that's bad.
Sure. I don't know. It just seems odd. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I'm just wondering if that's. I don't know. I see like there's potential there that kind of makes me nervous. It's kind of hard because, you know, 10 years ago you'd go into a store and it would be $10.95 and you would buy it and you'd pay $10.95 and if anybody else walked in it'd be $10.95 unless you had like, you know, my dad owns the store discounts or something,
or like a replay card at
that's
the
true.
Sam Goody or something.
That's true. I mean, I guess they do offer things like that. That's a fairly common
it's
thing.
Because I mean, I
to
have
encourage repeat buying.
Yeah, I have membership cards at a bunch of different places, and I tend to use them because I get like, you know, 10% discount or whatever.
Bargains.
Every time I buy there. Right. So I really don't know that that's much different if you buy certain
it's
types of
scary.
Things enough. That it's like getting a bulk discount for something. So
it's just scary to think that they could conceivably jack up the prices, and I wonder if you would notice.
Hmm.
It'd be interesting, though. Let's see, what do we got? Mandrake 7.2 beta is out, which of Red Hat betas are now out. All sorts of new distributions betas are floating around. There's a new denial of service vulnerability on Nokia phones, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'm kind of afraid I'm going to be wandering around and somebody's going to turn off my phone, you know.
There you go.
Although, being in Holland, Michigan, it's pretty
doesn't
much
really
just
work
like
anyway.
That's just like having a distributed denial of service attack.
Oh, sorry.
All of Holland, Michigan is working against me getting
sorry,
phone
this
calls.
Block, your phone won't work. Is that okay
yeah.
by you? Tough.
So that was really odd. I was sitting in the office the other day in Holland, Michigan, and I pick up my phone to make a phone call, and it tells me to input a
credit card
number. Give them a credit card number before I can make a phone call. And you think to yourself, you know, I have one of those nationwide roaming plans. Doesn't that mean that I can make a call anywhere from around the nation?
You don't understand, dude. Michigan is not part of the United States.
Yeah, I'm starting to learn that.
See,
so.
I have the same problem. I have nationwide roaming as well. But if I go to Boston, I cannot make outgoing phone calls. And if I go to California, nobody can call me. So I'm convinced that neither of those cities are in...
Neither of those countries.
Whatever we're talking about. Neither of these land masses, these areas, these regions, are in the United States. Or else I'm not in the United States, because I have United States national coverage.
This is from the CEO of Michigan.
I am the CEO of Michigan.
So, yeah, we were talking about that earlier today. Since Rob is the self-declared CEO of Michigan, and Kurt is the self-proclaimed Pope. In Michigan, we have a separation of church and state. Rob sleeps upstairs, and Kurt sleeps downstairs. Right. So.
It's separation. It's very important.
Separation of church and state. Yeah,
that's right.
Constitutional, just like Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston is constitutional. For those of you who don't know, it's constitutional. It's your constitutional right that everybody, if you ever have the opportunity, I'm not saying, you know, you're allowed to do anything illegal. If Jennifer Aniston wants to sleep with you, your girlfriend can't say anything about it. Your wife, your fiance, she has nothing. It's Jennifer Aniston. Okay, that's in the Constitution. It's got to be. And if it isn't, I'm petitioning to have an amendment. Because
that
should
it.
Be.
We're starting a new constitutional convention.
Was that in the Chewbacca clause?
That's in the Chewbacca clause. That's right.
Chewbacca is a Wookiee. Wookiees do not live on Endor.
God. They live on, like, what, Kashyyyk or whatever that was?
Yeah.
That was always confusing. Oh, you don't want to do that.
Sanford and Son? Oh, yes. We need the Sanford and Son.
You might. The rest of us should flee in terror. Well, thanks for listening, guys. This has been a little special episode. We don't know when we're going to be back. We could like to consider ourselves on permanent hiatus. We'll probably be back next time Bates is in town. I'm sure Hemos will have many exciting things to say to you.
With yet another installment.
Yeah, of our sporadic
we
show.
We should make it a serial. Join us next time.
Well, what it really is it's like the reunion tour. You know, it's like The Who having a reunion tour every year or so. You know, we're back together for this tour only. You know, well, see, we can do that with Geeks in Space now. You know, we have reunion episodes, but we can do it, you know, every month or so.
Welcome back to the Geeks in Space Out of Jail special.
coming to you live from State Bend.
This is my new friend, Bubba.
Riches, bitches, snitches, and body bags.
You sure do got a pretty mouth.
Oh, that's the kind of stuff that you just don't want to let out, Jeff. Thanks to our special guest this week, Mr. Jeff Mandrake Harrison, creator of the Mandrake Linux distribution. Okay, not the creator of the Mandrake Linux distribution.
Quit sending me support mail. I cannot respond to support mail.
You know, normally your email is what percentage Mandrake Linux support mail?
I don't know, probably at least 5%.
But at least today, your messages are 99% bounces. So it's like you, that today,
my
you're only going to have
totally
0.01% Mandrake
my mail
Linux tech support
messed
mail.
Up today. That's another 361 messages just now. So
it's a good, good day.
It's not a good day.
For you.
All
Catch
right.
you guys next time. See you later. Bye-bye.